Okay, good morning. Steve, you want to get us going? Okay, we're not many of us this morning, but those of you who are here, I'm glad you're here. And we've got so much to cover and do this morning, and got some surprises for you, some treats. And so let's begin with a word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is to orient ourselves, to check ourselves, to see if we're in the Spirit, that all that we do will be glorifying to the Father. A great deal of worship will be going on around the world today on Sunday, but very little of it will get much further than the auditorium where it is given. So we want ours to be a sweet savor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we consider it a great privilege to be able to assemble this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth of who and what you are. Father, we pray that all that we do will be glorifying to your Son, the power of your Spirit, and therefore be a sweet savor to you, Heavenly Father. Pray that you'll guide us this morning. You have seen fit so many different ways to use this humble assembly, and we pray that you will continue to do so. Pray that you'll give us the Spirit to understand the things that we're going to be seeing this morning. Father, we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we're going to sing some hymns this morning. One or two of them are the same ones probably that we sang last week. I was 1 week ahead of time. I didn't know that because I didn't know what was going to happen this week. And I did it last week because of our passage in Isaiah in dealing with the spreading of the gospel. But a lot of things have happened since last week when I was getting into this study. And because of the hymns that we did in dealing with evangelism and missions last week, just been in prayer. And boy, like that, God has seen fit to start answering these prayers. And so I hope you can have a good morning this morning with us with some good stuff going on. But it's all going to deal primarily with getting out the gospel, both for unbeliever and believer. So a couple of the hymns we probably did again, but that's okay. So, Brian, let's sing.
Let's continue where we started last week in Psalm 281.
Song.
Okay, a few announcements before we get into the things this morning. First of all, next Sunday is communion. So we'll have some, if you will, bring some finger type of food after the communion. We'll have our monthly fellowship together. And the motif is going to be Mexican brunch. And so tacos and enchiladas. Boy, I'm getting hungry. And tamales. Let's see. Chips and salsa. Spanish rum. Now that would be nice, but I don't know. I don't know. But that'll be the, is this posted anywhere?
No, we can find it.
All right. But that'll be the next Sunday's sort of the motif of that. Now, next, you know, Jim, if you and I could just stay still, John Harvey would catch up with us. But today is John Harvey's birthday, and those of you that have been back there, nice big cake in celebration. Was there. It's not there anymore. And we appreciate Pam bringing the cake to celebrate John's birthday. That was very nice. Very good. Thank you. Nobody brought a cake when it's ours, did they, Jim? But boy, his wife brought him a birthday cake. That's wonderful. So that's good. Now, and the prayer, any prayer request, Vic Edwards, gets one of our members in Wichita Falls, gets all of our lessons, requests prayer for his family. Various members of his family need our prayer severely. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Okay. Just continue to be in prayer for one another. That's been exhorted by Paul. Everyone's in the battle. And therefore going to have their own things that you may or may not even be aware of. You may look at someone here in assembly and, well, their life is just so wonderful, but you don't know what's going on in the spiritual warfare. So please bear that in mind. Be in prayer as we do for John Hintz's church, Dan Hill's church, and their battles and things going on in their assembly. So please be in prayer for them as they worship this morning. Dan is on our time, but John is still in bed. No, I guess he's up by now. But be in prayer for John and his group. Sometime we get up real early. I'm talking about around 6-7 my time, so imagine what it is his, and we'll start emailing. And so you're up working on your sermon, huh? You didn't get it done last night. And he'll come over and say, yeah, I'm trying to find Benny Hinn or somebody on the TV to find out what they said so I could do it. And so be in prayer for them. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. Gracious giver is, first of all, one who has personally accepted Christ as Savior. But that's not all. It is very important to understand that it is also the believer who is filled with the Holy Spirit, led of the Spirit in regard to giving. Therefore, it is not a matter of the flesh making the decision, oh, I'm going to give a whole lot, or I'm going to give sacrificially, or I'm not going to give at all, whatever it may be. No, being led of the Spirit. So with these things in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, difficult for us to go into this facet of worship without thinking of the two great spheres of freedom that are involved. First of all, Heavenly Father, the political, economic freedom that we enjoy in America, for which, Heavenly Father, we are most thankful. And we're thankful, Heavenly Father, for the men and women who have served to provide us this economic, political freedom throughout our history of this country, who are on the very battlefields right now dying. Father, we are so appreciative of this freedom, the freedom to do with our lives as we see fit, to marry whomever, to live where we choose in this country, to worship wherever we choose to worship. But Heavenly Father, we cross this freedom with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. For it is in this sphere of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political economic freedom. We have eyes to see in regard to marriage, in regard to where to live, in regard to where to worship and why. So, Father, we are most grateful for the opportunity of the offertory. Father, we are thankful that you've seen fit to use this humble assembly in so many ways, and we pray that you will continue to do so. We'll put our cup out, Heavenly Father, and you will pray that you'll continue to fill it and use it to your glory and that of your Son. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
What would we do without this table? I'd like you to open your Bibles, first of all, to the Gospel of John. Chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, that is, believe in him as the Savior, the Son of God, the Messiah, the works that I do, and that's the important part, what are the works that he does? Presents the gospel on how to be restored to God the Father. He provides it, but he also proclaims it. You shall do also. And then he says something interesting. Greater works than these shall he do, meaning the church, because I go to the Father. Different ways you can take that. Some people take it meaning greater because there's more of us than just the one of him. But if we look at the word greater, greater in quality, and different things that we will note when we get there. But one of the things that he's talking about is he came for the Jews. And we studied that right in our midst of our study in the Gospel of John 12. You and I have the opportunity, though, to bring in the whole world into the body. He came for the Jews. The Jews rejected him. And you recall that then the seeking Greeks came in John 12. And that's when he changed from all through the Gospel of John, my hour has not come, my hour has not come. But when Greeks, the Gentiles, came, my hour has come. It's time for me to go to the cross and leave the earth. And the greater works, the works that you and I have to spread the gospel to all of the world, to bring the whole world into his kingdom, into the body of Christ, into the kingdom of God. Now, we have some wonderful opportunities. Got a wonderful thing going on here in regard to missions and things in this area. And you know, the secret be known in regard from everywhere, from the President of the United States down to the executive of a company or anything, is deals primarily with those that are around that person. They see what he sees, do what he does, visions, these types of things. This is what makes it so tumultuous when people turn. It's interesting to see how Colin Powell now is challenging a lot of President Bush's decisions and things. But it's the people that work right there with you that become so important. And this is so true in here in our own assembly, the men and women that really make the things here go. People being a pastor, studying, which is essential, teaching, which is his gift, studying and teaching, that's just one of the gifts. That's just one thing that the church is about. It's not just about studying and learning the scriptures. That's not what it's just about. It is about much more than that. The interaction of the body and the dynamics and the functioning of a church, an assembly of believers, of those that are around. Paul teaches this in 1 Corinthians, chapters, especially chapters 1 and 2. Dealing with how this church, you have all the gifts that you need to do what you're to do. That does not mean that any one assembly is going to flourish in just everything. But each church, each assembly will have those believers that will zero in on the gifts that will fulfill God's plan for that assembly. Dan Hill is, as I am, let me just make sure you understand, I'm most appreciative here. But Dan Hill is really blessed when he has a wonderful wife. But he has some wonderful men around him. And one of those men is Carl, who's here with us this morning. And Carl is head of the missions and does a lot of things and works with Dan in regard to the internet and these kinds of things, which is the main reason that Carl decided to come on down and stay a couple of days with me to talk to us about the internet and disc making and all of this. But that has almost taken secondary place to what has happened the day before he came here and to this morning. He had no idea until yesterday he was going to come in here and speak, because he was coming to somewhat just see what we're doing and not reinvent the wheel and do some things with Langston and James. But he came down. We got into the missions and more and more and more. And Trey, who I'll talk about in a few more minutes when Carl is through. So I'm going to ask Carl to come and just talk to us a little bit, as long as he wants, I told him. Do not worry about the time. As far as, well, I've got to give Herman time. No, this is a very important morning, in my opinion. And I knew that I didn't know if we called it a gift, a pastor teacher, certainly, when I was accepted Christ as Savior as an adolescent. But I knew immediately, a preacher. And I never wanted to be a cowboy or Indian or a cop or a robber or a fireman or any of these, a preacher. And grew up in a denominational church. And every time a missionary would come in, I'd be there. And I don't remember this, but Mother told me I used to be upset that I wasn't invited to the homes to eat with them when people would invite them to eat. And when families would have had the missionary over to eat, and why can't I go? In fact, as I got older, I rigged into some of those. And to just talk to the missionaries. And as everything, I was at every presentation and films and slideshow. They always had slides, and they got to remember, this is a long time ago, but they would eat, they would start moving on their plate, and they had pictures on it, and all that. And I just went home every time, God, don't send me. I'll support them. I'll do whatever you want, but don't send me. I can't eat that stuff. And I was so afraid, as I got a little older and started learning things, the very thing you ask him not to do, he does. And then I got to thinking, what if God does that? I better change about in my teens. I better change this. Okay. And but he hasn't seen fit to do that. And I love sending him. And Carl and I just had some wonderful days. I tell you what, this guy knows physics. He knows the automobiles. He knows a lot about science. He knows about draperies and curtains and things like that. That's what he does. He knows about cooking, sports. I'm just over computers. Knows all about computers. And unfortunately, he's married with 4 children. And three of them, one's a teenager, but they already all know that whatever they're doing, one wants to get pre-med and all, but all for missionary work and mission field. And the 20-year-old? It's already been to about 5 places, 5 countries, 5 continents doing missions work. And so they're all involved, and I don't know if he's going to talk about that, but along with all of those things that he knows, so we've just not had any time, not of silence, not having something to talk about. But in spite of all of those things, he knows about the Lord, and he has a great heart for missions, and just has a drive for it. And I want him just to come and talk with you a little bit, and then we'll talk about some things in our own church in this respect. Carl?
Oh, no. We're recording it. Somebody's going to hear what I said. Yeah, that's...
So be careful what you say.
I know. One thing I always do when you get before a group of believers and you have the privilege to talk to them, it always kind of get you right here a little bit, because this isn't just like talking about, you know, physics or something immaterial that might last a little while. These are things that can have eternal ramifications. I mean, this is something that we will someday see possibly the results in history. This isn't going to be your normal missionary talk. I have no slide projector. I have no little pictures of Pedro to show you that, oh, he's so poor, can't you please give? I mean, we need to help. Because that's not what I'm actually about. Just a little background about myself. I was raised in a Catholic family. And when I was little, I was in, you know, every Sunday church. And we also went to a Catholic school, so I learned the catechism. And I had a nun, and the one thing, she went through the catechism, and one of the things that she brought up was, says, now, you know, all you children, you're all sinners. Oh, yeah, you lie. Oh, yeah, we've lied. I understand. I'm a sinner. Yep. Put me right there. And she goes, but, you know, that God does have a way for us to get to heaven, and that's he sent his son to die on the cross for all your sins, and if you accept him as your Savior, you can go to heaven. I'm going, wow, that's a good deal. You know, I mean, good, I want to go to heaven, because I, you know, before that we had been taught in the catechism what heaven's like, and I wanted that. So I accepted, in the Catholic Church, was amazing, Christ is my Savior at a young age. But unfortunately, we stayed in the Catholic Church to a long extent. My family moved around a lot, and basically wherever else I went, it was just kind of the ritualary thing, and none of it made sense, and I never got beyond that initial point of salvation. And then I met my wife in college, and we started dating, and we decided to get married, and at the time she wasn't really involved in a church, and I didn't have any church, so we were going, who's going to marry us? And she said, well, I have a friend of our family, Dan Hill. They're my parents' best friends, and we know him, and he's a pastor. Maybe he'll marry us. So we said, okay, let's talk to him. And he already did pre-marriage counseling. We sat down and talked with him. And the first question he asked both of us, he said, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And it's amazing in that short of a time how the Holy Spirit goes all the way back, and my entire life goes before, wow, all these things I've been searching for, da 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 da, yeah, I did that, I remember that, yeah, I accepted him as my Savior. And, you know, it's just like, wow, a light, you know, came on. And as a result of that, you know, I got involved in a doctrinal church, and we started learning the Word. My pastor in Phoenix, I mean, probably one of the most amazing theological students of the Word. I mean, I just understood who God was, what the plan of God is for man, how God works and everything, and I just really got that down well. But unfortunately, and part of it's my fault, I really didn't totally understand the Christian way of life. I mean, I understood, okay, there's this doctrine, there's this application, and I'm supposed to, and somehow this Word is supposed to work in my life, and I didn't quite put all the pieces together. And then I was put in a situation where I had to totally rely on God, that it was, I had to have faith, not that there was no chapter or verse that I could go to just to say, okay, this is what I need to do. But I had to believe that God had a plan for me, that I had to rely on the filling of the Spirit to show me direction and go and make certain decisions and follow a path. And I did. And that really changed me, because I'm going, wow, God really is faithful. I mean, He is so gracious and so faithful. And as a result of certain things that transpired, we were led to move to Tulsa. And there, we sat under Dan's teaching, and he really stresses grace, faith, life. And I would say three verses characterize how I could summarize our Christian life. You don't have to turn to these, but I just want to. Colossians 2:6. Therefore, as you have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Such an amazing verse. I mean, this is our Christian life. How were we saved? God offers his grace of eternal life to us, and it's a gift. And just by faith, putting faith in God that he is able to do what he promises, we accept that gift. And that's then to be our continued walk in the Christian life of accepting God's grace by faith and walking in grace and faith. And how do we walk in that faith? Dan uses the formula that we are motivated by grace. We see the grace of God to us, and that becomes our motive for what we're going to do in life. We're influenced by the Word of God. And then what power do we rely on? We rely on the Holy Spirit. And that becomes our Christian way, our Christian walk. And then what is the purpose of a walk? Everybody's got to be walking somewhere, right? I mean, we're not just walking around aimlessly, that there's got to be a walk. And the two passages that I'd like to look at for that, one of which Herman touched on, both are in the Upper Room Discourse, but in John 13:34, and this to me, again, is another verse that when Christ spoke this, I'll bet every angel just went, what? What? Everybody, I mean, all heaven probably just stopped and listened, like, wow, what? Do you hear what he's saying? Because he goes, a new commandment I give to you. There hasn't been a new commandment given since Moses went up on the mountain. This is a new command. I mean, this is big. A new command I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. And by that, you also, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The apostles should have just gone, whoa! What is this? How do I? And instead they're going, what's the next question? Where are you going? Right over their heads. Okay? The first thing they should have asked was, how can we love just as you are? I mean, you are perfect. You are perfect humanity. And they should have focused in on that. Instead, that went completely over their head until months later, until after the filled with the Spirit and continued on. And then the passage that Herman read this morning, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. That should have gotten their attention too, like, whoa, wait, you rose a person from the dead. You gave sight to somebody who was born blind. How are we going to do something greater than that? And having been on the mission field and working, I have seen people do that. Not in the physical sense, but in the spiritual. I've seen people give the gospel to those who are dead and give them spiritual life. I've seen them take a person who is blind spiritually and open their eyes so that they can see spiritually. And this is a little different application of that is a far greater thing, and that this is not just in that little area of Judea, but out across the entire world, and we don't have just 3 years of ministry, we have our entire lifetime. So taking those things, those applications, I said, okay, now what is the Christian way of life? I understand that, do you have a overhead, can I use one of these, just that? Is that the way God deals with us is that he deals us with grace. Starting the other way. Sorry. God loves us. In John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his own only begotten Son. So God is love, and God has love for us. But the first thing he does is he shows mercy to us. He holds back what we deserve. What does every one of us deserve? We all deserve death, lake of fire, total separation from God. And that is held back. And that creates a void. that's pulled back like a hypodermic needle, you know, pulling out a hypodermic, and something has to fill in that vacuum. And that vacuum is the grace of God, salvation, all the blessings we receive. And then how do we take this and now apply this out using these verses, that because God has shown grace to us, we can now show mercy to other human beings, to other people. As we go through life, what do the people around us that gossip about us, that harm us? I mean, even to the point of even Al-Qaeda, who is attacking us and killing us. What do all these people deserve? They deserve to be slandered. They deserve to be talked bad about. They deserve to be killed. I mean, that is what, in human terms, man in dealings to a certain extent deals with. But yet we can pull back that judgment that we could be giving to man, and instead we can exhibit that love of God that Christ talks about in the new commandment, that we are supposed to love one another just as he loved. But that's a tall order. I mean, that should be something where we just go, wow, how can we love just as Christ loved us? And then we just look at his life, and how did he walk? What was his motivation? His whole life was that he was motivated to fulfill that plan of God for his life, that he cared about each of us enough to, that willing to go to die on the cross and to sacrifice himself. And that this is the love that we can now show to the entire world. An analogy that I like to use is that we're like an ear of corn, that we grow up, and what that corn, as it grows, can it say glory in itself and say, look what a wonderful ear of corn I am, I've grown so wonderfully? No, it's because of the sun that shines down, the waters that come up through the roots that gives it its life, okay, and that forms that ear of corn. And does that ear of corn glorify it? Is it there to glorify itself in any way and say, look at me, you know, I'm going to be, whatever I do now is going to be for my glory? No, that ear of corn is supposed to do two things. It's either supposed to replicate itself by being used as seed, or it's supposed to feed people. And in that same way, we're kind of like that ear of corn in our spiritual life, that we have two ministries in life, that we are supposed to replicate ourselves in the spiritual, and that we are all supposed to teach in some way, to pass that nourishment on to others. In fact, we're given that in the Great Commission, to go forth and spread the gospel. And that's what missions is. As soon as you walk out that door, we all have that opportunity of being a missionary. You don't have, we say that, you know, missions is across the street or across the sea. We all have the gift, not the gift, the responsibility of witnessing and being an example and to show our Christian love to each other and to that unbeliever. Even we have to look at that unbeliever or that fellow Christian just as God looks at us. He looks at us in his love, that he was willing to die on the cross for any one of us, down to the lowliest heathen Christian, I mean heathen infidel in the world. He died for their sins too, so that we should have that desire to spread that gospel to everybody. Not everybody has the same, though, spiritual gift. We all can exhibit that personal witnessing to others, but not everybody has the ability to go out on the mission field. I know I was one that we had many missionaries came in, and I would sit there and go, oh, that is just so amazing, wow, that you can do that. But not for me. It was kind of like Kermit to a certain extent, that I knew that wasn't my main purpose in life. And it kind of bothered me sometimes that the missionaries always kind of wanted to get you riled up, like, oh, yeah, you need to go on the mission field. Oh, yeah. And it'd be like, but that's, you know, and I felt bad, like, oh, Lord, am I, you know, shirking my responsibility or what, you know. But I found that just through the study that there are different people have different gifts. And in the same way, different churches have different gifts. Not even in their mission function. Example, I know of one church that they have a lot of people that are involved in the medical profession. So what they do is they go, they'll get a group of these people, and they'll go over to country, and they set up and they offer medical assistance, and at the same time, it gives them a chance to present the gospel. That they say, that they use that as an example. Here, we are giving you this gift of health. Let me tell you about something, even a greater gift that God has for you and brings in salvation. Our church had an opportunity through Christ for Humanity that during the famine in Zambia, that they had somebody who wanted to send over 4 containers of corn to this area that we do mission work on, and all we had to do is come up with the transportation costs. So we worked that out, and the person who was there doing the distributing of the food, it was given to anybody, believer, unbeliever, didn't matter, but whoever got the grain was given that same message. This is a gift from the people in America, but let me tell you of a greater gift, the gift of salvation. And many people were saved just because of that generosity. There was no strings. They're going, well, wait, do I have to join your church? Do I have to do? No. All you have to do, you know, if you don't want to accept, you can still have the bag of corn. But here's also this other gift. And many were led to the Lord just because of that free gift given to them. So what I'm saying is that what we do at Southwood may not be what you do here. That you may have a totally different area of how your mission activity goes. There are many different ways to learn. It's a lot. I know one of the big things that when I talk to people, that their thing is, you know, I just don't know how to witness well. It's scary. I'm afraid of people. There's even, we found that we went through a whole tape series on just evangelism on tape, and to some people it was just eye-opening that, wow, this is simple. Okay, you got a little thing, and it helped conquer a lot of people's fears and apprehensions, and it allowed them to even to go in just into the neighborhoods and witness. The main, and then the outshoot of this, because of our mission work, we found that in the doctrinal churches or the individual churches that are non-denominational, the main problem is that there are people who want to get involved in mission work, that have a desire to do things, but they don't know what to do. And God won't use anybody until they're prepared. God uses prepared people. So, like, he's not going to, as we learn the word, he gives us opportunities to apply that word. In the same way, before we're given that area of missions work or whatever, it's best to be prepared. You don't want to just say, okay, I want to be a missionary. Okay, now pack a suitcase and head off to Kenya or India, because it's going to be a disaster. Because you're not going to know the things, some of the simple things that need to be done in order to be effective. And one of the things that we have at our church that is very amazing is that we have people who really understand the mission field and what it takes to go on to the mission field, especially Pat Hill. She's been on about 20 mission trips, and she knows even the simple things, what to pack and how to pack, how to stay with a guest, because you usually put up in a guest home, what are the traditions, how to follow leadership. That's one of the main things. It's like when you join the military, one of the first things they do is boot camp, okay, and you learn to accept that authority of that DI over you. And in the same way that when you're on the mission field, you learn to accept that leading of the Spirit and your leader there, because they have what's best for you in mind. And because of these gifts, they started Grace Gospel Missions. And their whole purpose of starting this is to train people to go into the mission field, and to do this by first training them in ways of giving the gospel, physical needs, and then in a short period of time, and then going on a short mission trip, just to see what it's like. Most mission organizations, what you do is you sign up, and you go through like a three-year program, and then they send you out on the mission field. And what they found is a lot of the people wash out, because here they've gone through this three-year program thinking they want to be a missionary and this and that, and they get on the field and they go, I don't want to do this. This isn't for me. This gives anybody and everybody an opportunity to at least find out what it takes to be a missionary, and then gives you a little taste of it. They go out on like about a four or five day mission trip. It's usually this one they have this summer is planned to Mexico. Then through classes and continue just kind of lessons back and forth by mail. Then we go on a two week mission trip, and then if you want to continue, there's even opportunities for intermediate missions like 3 to 4, and if you really have a desire, than to be placed out on the mission field. So that's the first goal of Grace Gospel's mission, is to train people to be ready to go on the mission field. And then their second is to aid indigenous pastors in countries. The most effective way to evangelize and to spread the word in a foreign country is not to send a missionary over there and have them have a church and be there all the time just trying to evangelize. The best way is to go in, even if you have to go into an area that's, let's say, a new area, evangelize, and then amongst that, it's amazing how God works, that a pastor, somebody who's going to be a teacher, will rise up, okay? And we, through Gene Cunningham and through some of our efforts, we're trying to set up places, Bible institutes, where a person can go. In Africa, you can't just give up your life for 4 years and go become a pastor. They have to continue in their life. So there's programs set up that in a very short period of time, you can at least get the basics of how to study the Bible, how to interpret the word, a little familiarity with basic doctrines and the outline of the Bible, so that they can get out and start teaching their people, and that it's kind of like they're growing one step ahead of their people all the time, which is basically what most pastors do anyway, so, but not having to go through 4 years. So we're trying to set up these Bible institutes, and that the pastors come in, and then they go out, and then our purpose is to help them in whatever way possible through financial aid for pastors. As an example, we have about 15 pastors who are under this, kind of under his rule, direction, that would be the best way, that are out in villages that have no place to live. They're living with their parents and then traveling like about 5 or 6 miles to the villages that they're teaching at. And what we're trying to do is, as the groups grow, to plant churches in these different places and find a place for these pastors to live and give them the support, which it's amazing. All they need is like $25 to $50 a month, supplies all their housing and food needs for a month. So this is the thing we're trying to do. And that is the goal of Grace Gospel Missions. But the important thing in all of this is to remember that missions comes from the church. That is where everything starts. Even Paul was sent out from the church at Antioch. It wasn't that Paul went out and joined a mission organization and then went out. The mission activity starts in the church, and that can be witnessing across the street. We've even combined our outreach and missions into basically one group that we work together, because outreach to the neighborhood is missions. It is, you know, it's just a different side of that. But by starting Grace Gospel Missions, we in no way want to take away from the individuality missions of a church. We might want to go in and challenge them to get involved, to start it, to help them do that. And if they want to send people out, to help prepare them. But the missions starts and stays in the church. And that's basically what I have to say.
Any questions?
Yeah, any questions?
Okay. All right. Let's recapitulate a few things with Carl here. Dan and Pat have been led with men in the church to start this mission. And what this means is, and I have no idea is what's going on in your souls, but to make it available both to you here and people on that get our disc tapes, you want to think about, maybe I'd like to do a week trip. Maybe I'd like to go somewhere for 4 or 5 days and just see what it's like to give the gospel. Work with translators. You got to learn to do that. These are the things that Pat, with her 20 different going out into mission fields, has learned. What to pack, what not to pack, which is very important. Somebody like me would want to take about 4 suitcases, and you just can't do that. And then working through a through a translator, and how all of these things work. So that's one thing we're opening up right here. Now what I want to do is just, where do we go from here? Okay, thank you, Carl. Goodbye. Teach, let's go. That was nice. We did our mission thing. Or we can take advantage of it. It's no accident. Things going on in my own prayer life. And then Carl coming down. And so when we were setting up different things on a chart, Trey came and said he wanted to work with the missions. So Trey and I met Tuesday, Wednesday, and before class, and still didn't know Carl was going to come and talk about the missions or anything, but Trey and I met. So what do we want to do with missions? What do we want to do here? Because we've got different things that are opening up to us. We've already got Carolyn in, but the rallies in Mexico, and just different things we want to make available and let you know about. And then Trey came over Saturday and met with a couple of hours with Carl. So I'm going to have Trey come up and say as little or whatever he wants to say, but I want him to come up. Interesting thing about Trey that I didn't know, something about in your heart. There's a seed that God plants. I did not know, but years ago, Trey went with Pat Hill to Mogilev, on a Russian mission trip. And so it's taken all this time for Trey's pastor to catch up with him. And it really has. It's taken this long for his pastor to get going and get these things going and give Trey and Christy, his wife, some opportunities. So Trey's going to be the deacon in charge of all of this. So Trey, come on up. You didn't know you were a deacon, did you? No, we're just, this is all mission day. All mission. Here.
Just a quick background on myself. I think I accepted Christ when I was a little feller. Little. And turning into a young man, I always had questions of the nuts and bolts of Christianity. chance in my actual relationship. You can't hear it?
I'm trying to get away from the Britney Spears thing. Is that it? Okay. And as a young man, trying to find out the nuts and bolts of Christianity, because I knew the do and do that I'd grown up with and seen just wasn't it. And in 85, got a job up at Rockwell in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I met Roger Sermon, my first teacher, doctrinal teacher. And he had always had the answers to the questions that I had relating to God. And how do I walk? What does God expect of me? And he always had the right answers or answers for me. So I started going to his church. And then a few years later, you get to a point when you're learning and say, okay, God, you get this. I think everybody has this prayer. Whatever you will for my life, so be it. That's what I'm doing. But you always add this little thing at the end. As long as you don't make me a missionary or send me to Russia, just don't send me to Russia. We're cool. A few years later, not realizing God's wonderful sense of humor, I ended up going to Mogilev, and one of the members was Pat, and she was one of the directors, actually, at the time, I think, and went to Mogilev for a couple of weeks on a missionary trip, which totally opened my eyes and realized how much God had graced the United States, because we actually live in Disneyland compared to the rest of the world. And I don't think you realize until you go, and Russia is, at the time, I don't know about now, was a third world country. I don't know why we were ever scared of them, because they're a third world. But since that time, I've always had a desire to get involved in the mission, if not necessarily on the field, to coordinate and help people get out there that had the desire to do it. Or in anything as small as prayer, or like you said, the money. The money is not that much to support these pastors who are actually indigenous to the area so that they can teach, so that we as a congregation can have a part of this in the greater plan. I think the Holy Spirit will use our small congregation for whatever His purpose is. I plan on being Herman's right-hand man because I think it is his direction as to what we will do in the missions. And as far as questions or help, suggestions from the congregation, I will always be open for that. Our number, email, is on the church roster. I'm flexible during the week for meeting people. If you have questions on how we decide to do little things, as much as letters from missionaries or the money to be dispersed to the missionaries, it'll always be available there. Like I said, I'm excited. I'm honored to take the position. And I think only great things can happen. I think it's all just up, nowhere but up from here. And I realize the size of our church, so I'm not overzealous, but I will maximize what we can do, and I'm looking forward to doing that. So.
We're not a huge group. I mean, we're not thousands of people. Our total members, our membership is actually around 80 or 90. But it's a, you know, it's a, God can take that widow's mite and stretch it mightily. I mean, we've seen, you know, mission trips that have far-reaching effects. And again, it's not even what, and I'm not trying to say, because we use an example, Dan taught an example. It's not, we're not looking at what our effects are. We're looking at how God's plan is fulfilled. Because we use the example that Herman went to Kenya and kind of got kicked out of the country almost. Yeah, we went to Kenya and we went to an area and there was just positive volition. Well, we can't go, oh, well, just look how much more effective we are. Because, no, it's God had a plan for us. He had a plan for Herman's. And both things fit into his plan, even if what, you know, to show this one group heard the word and heard the gospel and they rejected it. That's part of his plan. There's missionaries who've gone to Japan, have been there for their entire life and had one convert. What's the worth of one soul? The main thing is to not to be motivated by the filling of the Spirit. Spirit, what do you want us to do? Just to say, I'm here, make me, you know, I'm available. What do you want me to do? as an example, yeah, as an example, when I say we, you know, the life of grace and faith, it's in a lot of churches, people, what is that? And I think you have a good understanding, because I think Herman kind of teaches the same thing, is that at the beginning of the year, we don't sit down and say, okay, this year for our goal and missions, we are going to raise X number of dollars. We want to go to these trips. We want to send out this many Bibles, da-da-da-da-da. Basically, when we had our annual business meeting, I got up there and I said, these are the things we accomplished last year, da-da-da, and I gave the list. And I said, again, for this year, I don't have a clue what we're going to do. And I said, to be honest, I don't have any plans. I asked everybody in the congregation to please pray. Have God, the Holy Spirit, show us what you want us to do. With absolutely no plans, at the beginning of the year, we ended up forming a group that went to Kenya and Ghana, that ministered from pastors down to the little kids. And then even how God uses people in ways you don't suspect. One of the people who went was my father-in-law. He is 68 years old and blind. You go, what? Who? How are you going to use a 68-year-old blind guy on the mission field? Yet this person, who most people would say would probably be the most ineffectual, was the most effectual, because the Africans saw this and that man, that wow, this blind man was willing to come over to our country, you know, and witness to us, and that if he can do this, what excuse do we have? So, again, you can't make plans on who you're going to use. You rely on the Spirit. We've had those trips. We had a short-term missionary go to the Philippines who started up a ministry of teaching. In the Philippines, it's not public school. You have to pay. So if you're poor, you don't go to school. You don't get educated, and basically you continue in your poverty. They came up with a system that they're working through their churches, that they're going to try to get an accelerated reading and math program to the kids, plus the gospel on the side, to these kids to get, at least give them a chance to get out of their poverty. And that was my daughter that went on that, and she started that up. We've had groups. Then Dan went to Zambia to teach 50 pastors. We had an opportunity to for Bibles to one of the places we went before. They had so many people become believers that they all wanted Bibles, that we sent 200 Bibles over to this group. We had, as a result of the other group going to Africa, this last group, that we had a car donated to one of the pastors so he can make his commute out to his villages. We built two houses for pastors, and we have the support for four pastors set up for the entire year. And this is all, again, starting from nothing, just starting saying, Father, what do we have us do? This year we did the same thing. What will you have us do? We've started Grace Gospel Missions. We've got a plan for a summer trip, and one now already planned for next. Again, it's being sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. We may make our plans, but God's going to direct our feet. I ask you basically to pray, okay, if you have a heart for missions, you know, Father, is there anything I can do? From getting one of the, we have a list of pastors that would love to have a church support them and be in contact with them. And that's just one thing. I don't have a clue what the Holy Spirit has planned for you, but if you want to make yourself available, I guarantee you he'll use you. I mean, I guarantee it. That's one guarantee I know I can make.
Okay, so what are we going to do from this point? Well, first of all, Trey and Christy are going to be the head up this. If you want to work with them, let them know. If you have any interest in, we've got everything from the film series that Dan did show, dealing with missionary outreach, evangelistic outreach. If enough of you are interested, we could set up a time before class on Sunday or any time and watch that series together. Trey will be giving different reports, different opportunities if you wanted to correspond or anything like that in that regard. Then of course, they'll be valued, want to be trained, and with the Grace Missions there in Tulsa. What is it, Grace? Grace Gospel Missions, and go on one of those things. That'd be super. And it will change your life. There's no doubt of that. And any questions, any suggestions, anything? Okay, but these are the things that we're looking at doing, and please be in prayer about it. Carl, thanks a lot. Thanks so much for coming and talking. And Trey, thank you. And Christy, so let's close in a word of prayer if nobody has any questions or anything. And we will resume here and pick it up. But do be in prayer about missions, people. It's a vital part that we have, I have, not you, that I have let slip, and that's not good, but now's the time, so let's get going with it and see where God takes us in this regard. I like the idea. Carl was telling me yesterday that no goals, and then he starts to hear everything that happened, and I go, good grief. Because we're so oriented to succeed with goals. You have goals, and then you manufacture your way of reaching the goals. Now, our goal is to walk in the Spirit. Our goal is to set ourselves out as an assembly of believers, corporate body of believers. What do you want to do, God? We're there. We're available. I like that. So we'll make ourselves available. Let's close in a word of prayer, and then we'll end with a song. Remember, next Sunday is communion. Heavenly Father, there's so many aspects of the assembly, not just the study and learning of Scripture, singing, praying, giving, encouraging one another, fellowship with one another. And then, Heavenly Father, the outreach of the gospel to our own community. And then, Heavenly Father, to other lands, doing the greater works. Pray, Father, that your Spirit will convict this assembly in the area of missions. Convict me in my leadership of it, and teaching of it, encouragement of it. And we can do this. We'll do this, Heavenly Father. You'll use us in this respect. You use us already, Heavenly Father, and we're so thankful. God takes us. I like the idea of guard. Well, yesterday, Carl was telling me goals, and then no goal thing that happened. He starts to have a good grip, and a grief. So, we're so oriented, succeed, goal. With goals, you have goals, and then goal. Our goal is to,
Then, Heavenly Father, the reach of the gospel, outreach gospel community, to our own community, and then Heavenly Father, and to our fathers, the lands, doing the greater work. That you will pray, Father, your Spirit will disassemble, will convict in the area of mission, convict me and my beloved, and my leadership, teaching of it, encouragement of it, encourage it. And we can do this. Will you use them, Heavenly Father, in this respect. It's already you use us, and we're so, Heavenly Father, thankful. I like the idea God takes a guard. Yesterday, no goals, and then Carl was telling me everything that happened. No goal. Good grief. Starts to happen. And I go, grief. Two. We're so succeed oriented. Goal. You have with goals, and then goals. You go. Man, if you, way of, goals. Factor you. Our goal is to reach in the Spirit. Now, we're walking. It's supposed to set up. God is in us. Our goal, believers, ourselves, everybody, assembly of believers. What do you, corporate believers, we're there. We're going to do, God. We're available. Yeah. We will make our, I like available. So, closing the word of ourselves, and we'll end with strong prayer, and then Sunday is going to song. remember next communion. Father, Heavenly Father, so many aspects, there's so many assembly aspects of study and scripture, not just the same learning of scripture, praying, singing, praying, giving one another, encouraging with one another, fellowship with one another. And Heavenly Father, each of the God, Father, the outreach gospel community, to our own, and then Heavenly Father, to others, as Father, to in the lands, greater work, that you will, your Spirit, pray, Father, this assembly, and they will convict us, pray, carry a mission, and convict me of it, and my leadership, encouragement of it, teaching of it.